Fellow Truth Attack fans, this is, yes, it is David Allen Carmichael standing in here while Tom Cryer, actually I'm sitting in here while Tom Cryer is taking an important and well-earned respite from his difficult work saving us and the planet from the planet. So today I'm going to be talking about an important thing that you don't even know that's happening, that is so important to you. House Bill 21, folks, for those of you who do follow the legislature during its legislative session, House Bill 21 was an act that was kind of a bold, notorious claim of rights by Florida to pass a law that says that Florida can make some guns according to Florida law, and it's not like they basically are not abdicating regulatory rights with regard to the manufacture of firearms, that it was something that Florida could do. And, of course, that bill died in committee. I went to the Florida legislative website, and it turns out that that thing just went just nowhere. But other states in the union, with all the kind of things that are going on with health care and things like that, there's kind of a there's a war between the states going on. And I think it's an important thing. I think the previous generations have abdicated their responsibility as a people to be paying attention to their civic duty and to be fulfilling their civic duty. And I think the fact that we're just sort of getting an awakening is because there's going to be a point where when you abdicate your responsibilities, it's going to catch up to you and bite you. So it seems that there's an awakening happening in the land with regard to the powers between the federal government and the state governments. I was just thinking about this before I came on this Truth Attack Hour. And you can check out more about the Truth Attack Hour by going to truthattack.org. Our government is supposed to be, according to the Bible, a minister of God for our good. Paul, in a letter to the Romans, chapter 13, we can read it there, and it talks about submitting to the civil government. The Apostle Peter wrote, telling people to submit to the local authorities. And they described it, essentially, it's a minister of God for our good. What we've done in America, in my view, over these last several generations, is not have a minister of God for our good, but what we've done is sort of made it a God to whom we will minister. And that's wrong thinking. It's our responsibility to love our neighbor as ourselves, to make sure that the government is acting justly. And I will tell you, for the most part, men are unjust. Men are wicked. They're evil. So how do you get evil men to exercise justice? Well, you got to have a just law that everybody, when they finally, you know, basically evil men will probably abandon their responsibility. Hopefully righteous men of mankind, that includes men and women, will exercise a responsibility and make sure that the laws are right and that justice will occur if we just abide by it and not pursue our political passions and sort of make the law fit our passion rather than restraining our passions according to the law. Something to think about. Again, I'm David Allen Carmichael standing in for Tom Cryer on Frank Talk 104.3 FM for this Liberty Works Radio Network. I'll tell you what I did the other day. On Wednesday, September 1st, I broke a story that the Associated Press came out with about an hour and 45 minutes later. And I broke it on for the Liberty Works Radio Network, so those online listeners for the Liberty Works Radio Network were able to hear the breaking information about this case in Montana where somebody has said, I want to start manufacturing ammunition according to the law of Montana. And because I'm going to conform to the Montana law, and this ammunition will be stamped made in Montana according to the Montana statutes, and I will only sell it in Montana to those who can show me that they are resident to Montana. But the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has said, we don't care what the Montana law is. If you do not come ask permission from our agency to manufacture ammunition. We're going to come in and enforce this federal law. If you do, we'll basically go in and you'll be creating arms contrary to the laws of the United States. And if you haven't forgotten your history, they in the past have, even with a little bit of strange manipulation of situations, have gone in and they don't just issue a, "Hi, I'd like to arrest you today because you have violated this ordinance." What they do is they surround you, and if your child happens to be hunting on his own property, so he's carrying a gun, and he's holding it, and he happens to be hunting, and then you shoot his dog or shoot at him, and it happens to kill his dog, and he sees you dressed up in some ninja suit, and he fears for his life, to start shooting back and then starts running away. Federal agents have shot these young men down, these 12-year-olds, who basically had no idea what was going on, and then were running away. And so instead of filing the young man with unlawful use of a firearm or something, they executed him. I mean, that's the kind of thing that the federal government has done. And they were found to be wrong, and there was some accountability that was exercised, but what happens is these guys who want to manufacture this ammunition are a little bit afraid to do so according to the Montana law because of these letters they're getting from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Say, hey, we don't care what you're doing in the Montana legislature. I don't care if anybody abides by the state law. We're going to come in and do our thing on you. So I could see where this guy was a little bit fearful. But instead of just exercising what he believed to be right under the law, maybe filing an injunction to make sure somebody doesn't just, you know, shoot his children or whatever like that, he filed a suit that basically asked the federal court to determine or to make a determination what was going on, and that the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms was wrong and that they should be stopped from enforcing what they would like to enforce, since all he's doing is trying to abide by the state law. Now, that's something that's a hot potato. It's a hot potato in the news. It's a hot potato that you're going to be seeing. It's going to be dealt with. It's happening in many states across the union. And, of course, as you have some people believing that they've got a natural right to engage in things that are unnatural, and then not only just do it, but actually find some state blessing and state benefit and other things, protection in law that of an unnatural event that really shouldn't be talked about in public. I mean, there's a lot of weird things that are going on these days, and there's a wrestling between the federal powers and the state powers. So let me tell you what's going on in this case. On Wednesday, I reported something that happened Tuesday evening, it was published by the district court, this federal court out west, where the court said that it was a magistrate. Basically, it wasn't the real court. They kind of sent this thing down, this issue down to a magistrate, a trial court, so to speak, that would kind of sort through the issues and put together recommendations that the court should basically act on this thing without bogging down the court too much with too much detail. So the magistrate made a recommendation on Tuesday that this case in Montana should be dismissed. And I want to talk about it today. We broke the news, again, about an hour and 45 minutes before the Associated Press. And I just yesterday got one of the lawyers who argued, and I'll be quoting from something that was said in the oral argument today from this lawyer. He's going to come and give us an interview. Now, if Tom Cryer is, he's got a day in court or something like that. Sometimes I get invited to stand in for his shows. And I might do it on one of those days. Otherwise, we're going to broadcast it on my Faith and Freedom show that happens on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. So that's what's going on. The number here is 888-850-1872, 888-850-1872. What do you think? What should I, you know, there's a lot of 10th Amendment advocates in our broadcast audience, both on the Liberty Works Radio Network online audience and in our broadcast area that's reaching to, you know, a significant part of the state of Florida. So what do you think the boundaries ought to be with regard to firearms specifically? And if you call at 888-850-1872, what you're going to have to do is tell me why. And this is just specific to firearms. Firearms. And what should states do? What are the things that states need to do? And as far as Florida goes, Florida's laws regarding the use of firearms and carrying of firearms and stuff like that are kind of known throughout the country as being something that is a little bit more liberal than other places. And I mean that there's some more freedoms that are protected in Florida to firearms owners compared to many states in the United States. My son was doing a paper that he was asked to do. It was a final paper. He's 15 years old and he's in college and he's taken his English 111. They have English 101, but he took a test. I guess they said he needed English 111, which is, I guess they realized he knew English and didn't really need the course, but you're going to take the course because you got to pay the college because it's a business and they're not going to give you a certificate unless you pay them money for something that you do. He ended up clepping the second half of that requirement. But what he did is in his final, the instructor gave him a movie by Michael Moore that was basically one of these it was very anti-gun. It was very anti-gun. And he wanted the class to write upon this. Now, he had given my son a research paper assignment just prior to this. And my son was getting A's and was actually getting above an A, you know, extra credit, 105s on papers and stuff like that. And he was also being used as an example. Hey, guys, remember I told you such and such? Well, Jesse's done this. This is an example. He was actually using my son's writing as an example of good technical writing. Very succinct and using his grammar rules and everything like that. So he's basically he didn't need the class, but you got to pay for it to get your degree. So he was doing that. And then he gave him a research paper. And in this really huge research paper, and he was talking about identity theft and things like that, he made a single paragraph why the use of a SSN should not be used as a universal identifier. And he had reasons for it. And he had one paragraph that talked about religious aspects. You know, mentioned Section 666 of the Welfare Code regarding basically telling states that are involved in the federal welfare system that they must require SSN to have a marriage license, professional license, occupational license, recreational license, etc. Driver's license. Section 666 of the Welfare Code. He also mentioned in this paragraph about some folks whose parents survived the Holocaust and told their children about being numbered. And so I had a guy call me, and he told me his reasons, religious reasons, for not wanting to be associated with an SSN is because of what his father told him. And so my son had one paragraph in this, you know, multi-page, a small paragraph in a multi-page paper, research paper, about why the SSN should not be, there shouldn't be this use of a universal identification number, and it had to do with identity theft issues and the ease of fraud and things like that. Well, the teacher said to my son, he didn't give him his paper back. His first paper he didn't give back with any grade, with any comments, without anything. And he said, you sound like a religious fanatic. And it was an insult. And he was upset by his paper. That was a little bit weird. Now, this next paper he did on gun control was his final. And he was supposed to get a grade and he was supposed to get feedback on it. Well, he didn't turn my son's paper back to him, would not tell him what the grade on the final was. And then my son, who was getting an A-plus basically up to that point, suddenly got a B. And what it was is my son did a paper, even citing some things that are going on in Florida, that showed that when people have the freedom to exercise those Second Amendment rights, that crime goes down. The more times in the statistics show that that people exercising the natural right of self-protection end up being a deterrent to those who would do criminal acts with guns. So people get offended by that. They're anti-gun. And I tell you what, I'm anti-violence, ultimately. But I'm against restraining the strong man from protecting himself and his family and his neighbor. I'm very much pro allowing the strong man to exercise justice when it's needed at the situation. It's a very difficult world we live in. So we're going to come back with this truth attack. We're going to review what's going on in Montana with regard to this case. We're going to see what the court said, and I want to hear what you think.